Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll with tonight's guests, Pat Battistini and Jorge Balbas.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Fisher 15. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, it's always a very special moment when we have friends in the studio, and I know that we always end up as friends, whoever is in the studio, but when you actually start out as friends coming into the show, that's always special. And today, we have a friend of mine, Pat Battistini. I like to say Battistini, but Battistini it will be, and a new potential friend, Jorge Balbas, and somebody that I felt like we hit it off as soon as we connected here in the studio is Fisher 15, who will be joining us and playing some of his music live here at Studio NoHo in just a little bit later on in the show. It's interesting, as I was thinking about today's show, I just recently met with a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a while. And this friend had been traveling throughout Europe and Mexico and Latin America and all of that. And we got together, and one of the things that stuck out of our conversation was he said, you know, man is really stupid. Something like that, he said. He has a way of saying things. And he said, we make things so hard, and people are really confused, and there's so many bad things going on in the world, and why do we do this to each other, and why do we do this to ourselves? And I sat there, and I thought, okay, well, I can do a couple things. I can get depressed and go along with his line of thinking. And sometimes I do, but because I felt like I wanted to offer an alternative to that, I said, you know, isn't that what we do? Isn't it? I mean, when we have an Easter egg hunt, our parents hide the eggs so that we could find them as kids. They don't put them in obvious places. When we're little, maybe they do, but then they get harder and harder. When we play a game, we put obstacles in our way in order for us to feel like we achieved something. And if we don't do that, we don't feel like we've done it right. We don't feel like we've experienced something. We don't feel like we've lived. And so as I was thinking about this show, I was thinking about it in several ways. Like many of us, and we've talked about this on the show before, our friend Pat had a wonderful job and was making good money and was doing what he liked, but he wanted something else and has chosen a path that has been difficult and I trust rewarding, and someday will be even more rewarding for him. In the meantime, it's helped a lot of people and been good for a lot of people, and my hat's off to him, and we'll talk more about that. But why did he choose that path? And interestingly enough, we're going to be talking about his All Sports Los Angeles Film Festival. I have been to at least three or four of the film festivals, and every film I've seen that is part of the film festival, there's always some challenge, like a child who wasn't supposed to be able to play sports and somehow went against all odds to be able to. And then you have the people who could play sports, they're good at whatever they do, and then they put challenges ahead of themselves. And that is what we got with Jorge Balbas and the film Swim to Africa. And we'll talk about the challenges that people put themselves through to be able to get on the other side and say, I did that. And so in some sense, I use that as an analogy to my friend and for myself, and I offer it out to all of you. There are a lot of bad things going out in the world, And I wonder if the world were perfect and happy and wonderful, if those of us living in it wouldn't say, okay, now let's make some obstacles. Let's make something bad so we can fix it, or we can get to the other side of it and say, ah, we accomplished something. Give us a ribbon. So with that, we're going to be talking about those kinds of things. And of course, this film festival and Swim to Africa, the film, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune. And Mark, you and I, you weren't that friend, but you and I have talked about things like this before.
Well, yes, we have. You know, you talk about the analogy or using the sports and the games, and it brought me back to childhood. And one of the games that we played so often, which I think is a good metaphor for life, and at least some of the aspects of my journey, was called Kill the Carrier.
Kill the Carrier. I don't know that one. Seriously?
Which I think there's various names. That was a Midwestern version of whoever's got the ball, everybody goes and jumps on that person. So
not dodgeball.
No.
This is like the rugby version.
It's like
of
kind of rugby slash football slash, you know, run really fast and try to avoid whoever's coming after you, which, you know, it, again, is a little bit like life at times.
Right.
So it's a great analogy, and you know, so much of sports stories and the competitive drive that's in us is you know, definitely a mirror of life, as well as, you know, inspiring ourselves, like you said, to achieve or overcome or persevere.
And I really am glad that I had that conversation with my friend, because I never really thought of it that way. So I, too, would get bogged down with, look at all the horrible things going on in the world. But maybe I could look at it as if I'm the one carrying the ball and we're playing.
Right. Now you're starting to
kill
get it.
Kill the carrier. And somehow I'm enjoying this.
It's super fun. And you didn't come here for the easy ride, right? You came here, you pressed the advanced button,
When I get out from under everybody who's on top of me, I'll say, "Yay, that was fun! Let's do it again."
That was awesome.
Let's
do it again. Right. Exactly.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let's see if our friend Pat agrees with that analogy with his life and the sports festival and how it plays out. He is actually a writer, producer, and director. He is, in his own right, he's also the founder of the All Sports Los Angeles Film Festival. And if I'm not mistaken, he was a coach as well, right?
Right.
Welcome, Pat Battistini, to the show. Welcome, Pat.
Pat. Thanks for having me, guys. And being a Midwestern guy myself, we called it Kill the Guy with the Ball.
There
That's
go.
How we did, everybody. And it's so funny because you'd get creamed, but then the minute you got up, you'd want the ball back again.
Absolutely.
You
want
to
really?
Because the whole thing was try not to get creamed, but you get creamed. Especially, we played, you know, I went to a Catholic grade school, and our playground was all
that
cement.
Exactly.
It was a parking lot.
Yes.
So now we're playing kill the guy at the ball on a cement parking lot.
Right.
You know, and we're wearing ties, you know, and just shirts. And you come in and you'd have buttons missing and your shirt would be ripped and the nuns would just look at you like, are you going to fight? And we're like, no, just playing kill the guy at the ball.
And let me guess, if people didn't cream you enough, you'd like, oh, come on, you're not even trying.
Exactly.
Right?
You'd go at them more, so they'd come at you harder. Yeah, come at you harder.
They can't make it easy.
Yeah, no. Anyway, so I digress. So yes.
That's the point, because you were doing, first of all, you were doing really well as a coach.
Yes, I was coaching. I played college football at a small little liberal arts school in Illinois. And my coach at the time, we had a good rapport, and he moved on to a larger school. And he knew I wanted to get into coaching, so he asked me to come along with him as a graduate assistant. And so as the football gods had it made, as soon as I finished grad school, a position on staff opened up full time. So I was 25. I was an offensive line coach at the school called Grand Valley State. It's Division II school. It's in Michigan. They have a great reputation now. They've won multiple national championships, and we were pretty much – we were the beginning of all that. We started that. That's how we take pride in that. But you know, I was coaching after
That's
about
pretty
three
cush.
It was a great – yeah. It was yeah a, you know, you had... I mean, I was getting paid to coach football. Yeah. I taught two PE classes a week, you know, and so it was great.
So who would ever leave that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there was I would do clinics. I coached the offensive line, so there's all these high school coaches coming in, and I would be doing, they called them chalk talks, and I would be doing these clinics talking about our offense, and I'd look out there, and all these guys are like 10, 20 years older than me. Hmm. And I could tell they're just sitting there going, how did this guy get so lucky to get this job? Because it was a great job. I didn't have to worry about six classes a day, seven classes a day, you know, and then practice afterwards. I had 4 hours to prepare for practice. So plus I'm coaching college kids, and most of them, the majority of them, wanted to be there. The hardest part was I was in charge of study tables. So that was hard at 8 a.m. If a kid wasn't there, that was my job to make sure he got there. So if the grades were down, that was on me. But it was good. I'm still in touch because of Facebook. A lot of former players have reached out. I just actually had a former player text me and said, "Hey, my daughter's moving out to L.A. Can you meet her for coffee and give her some tips?" And I'm thinking,
people loved you.
Yeah, yeah.
You were loving it.
It was great. It was
so
great.
So you stayed.
Right. So
wrong.
So 3 years into it. The hardest thing about it was the passion, and I knew something was wrong when these guys would just be sitting there talking about football for hours. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but you know what? There's, you know, Aliens 2 is on HBO. You know, I want to go home and watch this. Mm. So I had a passion for that. And then one spring in Grand Rapids, I saw on the paper there was an audition for a play. And it was I can't remember it.
But play.
Yeah, for a play.
You acted?
Yeah. So there was a play.
This is a life changes moment.
I had no idea.
And it was Crimes of the Heart. That's what it was.
Okay.
By Beth Henley. And there was three women, and there was a role for two guys, and I just on a whim went out and I auditioned for this. And I'm just sitting there. I did my first read and I thought I was terrible, of course, but then this director kept on calling me back up to read some more. And then I went home, and he called me up, and I got this part. And so as long as it didn't interfere with spring football, I could do this part in this play. And it just really – I just loved it. I just loved the whole process, the creative process. And while these guys were sitting there watching and figuring out where the nose tackle's lining up on the outside shoulder of the center, I'm over here, like, you know, studying movies. And so then I realized I think I'm in the wrong profession.
Wait. Is the character one of the lead characters in Glee? Was that modeled after you?
It could have been.
He was a football player that went into acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So now you're an actor.
Yeah. So I did that, and then I had one more season, and then at the end of the season, I was like, you know what? I felt I'm taking a spot. Thinking back of those coaches looking at me and my position. I can't do this forever, and I'm taking up a spot of somebody who's more passionate about it. And I called a buddy of mine who I wrestled and played football with in Elmhurst, and I got him my job. And so he took over because I knew that's what he loved to do, and to this day he's still coaching. So I left, and I moved down to Chicago. My parents thought I was the biggest idiot in the world because here I got this great job.
Yeah.
I moved down to Chicago, and I'm waiting tables at Geno's East downtown in Chicago, making peanuts, driving a crummy car, living with my sister up on the north side.
Because you want to be an actor.
Yeah, because I want to be an actor. So,
you know, and then you come to Hollywood. And how many people want to get involved in Hollywood and how many people actually succeed? And you get these writer, producer, director jobs, and you're getting jobs. I mean, you were working all the time and busy with that, and that was going well. I mean, you're a winner, Pat.
Well, yeah, and on certain terms, and I have to remind myself that I am a winner, and I've been very fortunate. We're always looking at the next great thing for us, you know, and we feel sometimes we're only as good as our next job, but you have to stop and think, you know, hey, I've accomplished a lot. And I think part of the whole athletic thing, the coaching thing, is you have to work, you know, luck. It's a saying, and any coach can tell you this. They tell you this all the time, men. Luck is a result of hard work. Mm. You know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So with that little philosophy, as corny as it is, it's a good mantra. It's true. Create your own luck. So I've always kept that in my mind here. And that's why, you know, whether I'm not working, that somebody's hiring me, I'm going to go do my own short film. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to start a film festival. Why? Because there's people in this industry now they're going to want to come talk to me. And when I call somebody up, instead of saying, hi, I'm a director looking for a job, when I say, hi, I'm a film festival director, and I'd like to talk to you about your film, yeah, because people like to talk about themselves. Nothing wrong with that, you know? So it has opened up a lot of doors for me. And
well, that's really clever. And at the same time, you're spending a lot of time on the film festival. I know you're helping a lot of young filmmakers as well. And you've gone around the world in different places helping promote films and all that. So now this is almost taking so much of your time. You're doing less of that. And it's like, oh, there goes Pat again. and what are the parents, you know, saying now? What is the wife saying now? Don't answer that, actually. Hold these thoughts.
Okay.
Because when we're going to come back, we're going to actually talk about the film festival. And we have Jorge Balbas here. From Swim to Africa, one of the films that you're featuring in the film festival coming up in April here in Los Angeles. For those that are here, or even those who are not, I know people come from different parts of the world to be a part of this, and that's a really cool thing. Well, so we'll talk about the film festival when we come back, and in the meantime, want to give the website allsportsfilmfest.com. allsportsfilmfest.com. We'll be back with Pat Patacini and Jorge Balbas right after this on the Life Changes Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio here on the Life Changes Show with Mark Legere and our guest, Pat Battistini. A little later on, we're going to be joined by Jorge Balbas of Swim to Africa. We'll get into what Swim to Africa is about. It's actually a film in the All Sports Los Angeles Film Festival, which has been going on for how long now? How many years?
This is the seventh year.
This is the seventh year. Yeah. Was it last year or 2 years ago that I sang the national anthem?
2 years.
And I got to meet, thanks to you, I got to meet, now I can't remember his name because I think of him as Caitlin. I got
Bruce Jenner. At the time, it was Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
We all did. I think we were the last ones to ever meet Bruce Jenner. It's a milestone in my life, that's for sure.
They actually filmed an episode of the
Kardashians.
I didn't even want to say it.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding. No. At the festival.
Right.
And actually, you had some really special people there. Go ahead.
It was a great night. We had actually four Olympians there.
Greg Louganis.
We had Ty Babylonian, Randy Gardner were there. Yeah, and then we had Lori Newman from Saturday Night Live. She was giving an award to Gary. How can I forget
his Austin?
Name? Gary Austin. Yeah. Thank you.
We've had him on the show.
Really? He sings too. He does sing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he didn't sing for us.
Oh. Shoot. Well, anyway, so it was a magical night, you know, being able to give these people some accolades. And as you mentioned, part of this for me is it's fun, even though it's a lot of hard work during the awards ceremony and actually during the festival itself. Seen a lot of these people just happy to be there.
Great stories.
A lot of great stories. And this year it was so hard. I actually added a day to the festival. And another theater, actually, because I got so many student films, and I'm a softie, Filippo, and I couldn't turn down one student film because I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I'm a student, you know, I don't want to crush dreams of a, you know, we got 8-year-old kids sending stuff in, and they're well done. It's not like, you know, my son who just takes out his video camera and narrates, you know, a kangaroo beating up a tree or something.
Yeah, your son's what, 8?
11. He's 11 now. Yeah. But anyway, so these are all well done pieces, and it's just like...
Just, you know, getting through the process alone, right?
Yeah. And they're students, and let them, you know, somebody needs to be able to spotlight their things.
You got a good heart, my friend. This is the 7th annual, you're right, because I'm looking at your website.
Yeah.
You're right. Listen to me.
Wow. I appreciate that. You know what? That's the first time anybody's told me that in a long time. So
well,
I appreciate
I'll tell you
that.
Again, you're right, Pat. It's the 7th annual.
You need to know. Refer to your website.
It's the 7th annual All Sports Film Festival. It's going to be coming to the Regal Cinemas at LA Live Stadium 14, April 14th through the 17th, 2016. Every year, you've gotten a bigger theater. LA Live's no small potatoes.
No, it's a great place. It's right by Staples Center. It's in the heart of the sports area of LA. And so it was really just because the thing for me, too, is as a filmmaker, because I'm a filmmaker.
Right.
And when I go to festivals, I don't want to walk into a screening room that's pretty much just a classroom converted with a big TV screen. I mean, I could have done that at my house, you know.
Yeah.
So I want the filmmakers to come here because really, and I feel obligated to some of these people. We have a filmmaker coming from Finland this time for a 5-minute documentary.
Wow.
5-minute. And the subject matter, this is the amazing thing for the festival. The subject matter is an 82-year-old man, and he did a GoFundMe page in Finland to raise money to come to the festival.
Oh.
So, you know, bless his heart, it's probably his first time coming to Hollywood. And it's a story about him starting to exercise and ride bicycles.
At 82.
Wow.
And you know what I mean? And it's
In 5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes. Just a short little documentary.
Wow.
Unless they're bringing an hour one and they haven't told me. I only got 5 minutes for
them. There's a whole series.
So that's all they got. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you sure you don't have the trailer?
Yeah, that was just our trailer. We got the whole thing.
You don't understand Finnish.
Exactly, yeah. It's a 12-hour
movie.
It's a 12-hour. Ken Burns did it. It's a 12-hour miniseries. You know, so.
You might have to extend your festival another day.
Another day. And another $9,000. So,
what other films? What other kind of films this year?
I tell you, there's this one, and it's just an amazing piece. It's a group of girls that want to play soccer, and they live in the Himalayas.
Wow. Wow.
Talk about an away game. I mean, these girls, and they don't have cars. They don't have anything. They hike like overnight, whatever. They hike overnight through the Himalayas to another village to play a soccer game. I mean, it's that type of passion
it's
for
a good
the game
warm-up.
And for something. Yeah, and everything. And literally, if the ball goes off the cliff, the ball goes off the cliff. The game's over. Seriously. So it's an amazing piece. And because these guys are out there, they're fixing the pitch to make sure it's level and everything. So just something like that. That not only that, but for the filmmaker to do it. We got one guy who there's a race called Race Across America, and I was really impressed with this.
Is that the bike one?
Yeah.
Is this different from the one that was a couple years ago?
Yes, because there's one guy who's done that several times. And so people who don't know what it is, it's actually you race across America, and they do it. You have to do it 9 days or less.
Yeah.
That's the cutoff time.
Yeah, talking about putting obstacles the one I watched from a few years back, one of the guys died.
Yeah, yes. There's a guy that died in the film, and they don't know whether he fell asleep or something through traffic, because you're pretty much on roads the whole way.
It's crazy.
It is. But I mean, these guys go – the guy that won that race, he got on the bike in Santa Monica, and he didn't get off to rest until he was over the Rocky Mountains two and a half days later.
Santa Monica, California?
Yeah, over the Rocky Mountains. That's right. And he got off for 45 minutes to rest. I mean, so I'm watching this. So a guy that did that, so that's one of his accomplishments. His next one is he's going to ride across Russia. So this documentary is about a guy who actually rides his bike across Russia.
Wow.
And he does it. And he does. It's an amazing feat. And it's really pretty cool. So
I'm sensing the same excitement in you that you had when you were talking about the sports. You really have a passion for this.
Yeah. And the funny thing is it goes back to the sports. What was great about the sports? It was the camaraderie and the people and the challenges you have. And the same thing with these films. They're you know, like I had a person say, well, they're sports films. And I'm like, no, they're really not. They're about people.
It's life.
The human spirit.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what people can accomplish and what they do. It's just got the sports mix in it. And Ann Potenza, a very good friend of ours, she's my creative director for the festival. And I said, Ann, can you help me out with this festival? And she's like, oh, I'm not a big sports fan. She was a cheerleader at UNLV, and she's not a sports
fan.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. So I sat her down, and she started watching some of these films. And there was one, and she was crying her eyes out.
Yeah.
And she loves them now. She just loves these films because they're about people more than the sports themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the most moving sports film in my in my life was Brian's Song.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh right.
Great. Yeah.
Talk
I
about
still
cry. People.
I still cry.
So, I know.
You play the music and I'm crying.
I know.
I mean, seriously, it's a great story. It's just about the friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a great film.
Yeah. Tell us about one more, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about Swim to Africa.
Sure. Actually, this is a fun little movie that these guys, and I didn't know this exists, and this is part of it is me discovering sports that don't exist. These guys actually take riding lawnmowers, and there's certain rules and regulations, but they soup them up. And they tour the country. And there's actually, it's like NASCAR, except for riding lawnmowers. And these things fly.
Wow.
But they can go to a certain amount of horsepower and this and that, whatever
Should
like that.
Introduce them to the soccer team.
Yeah, exactly, to ride across
hit
the
some
Himalayas
rides.
And the thing. But so it's called Ready, Set, Mow. Or on your mark, get set, Mo. That's what it is. But
you know, I did say one more, but I actually watched part of a film that's, thank you for letting me preview it, that's part of this year's festival, and I forgot the name of it, but it's the race car.
Oh, yeah.
The guy, Zandini or something.
Oh, yes.
The Italian race car driver who lost his legs during a race. You can actually see the actual
crash. Yeah.
And it's horrific.
Right.
And now he's racing again without legs.
Yeah. He's
literally still, not that he can't use them. He's not got them.
Yeah. He's an
he's
Olympian.
He's not got them.
And I
he ain't got no legs.
He's got no legs.
Check my website. I have grammar on there too for the right answer. I can't remember his. I'm keep thinking of my cousin's name Zanotti, but that's not it.
Zandini.
It's Zanaldi. But anyway,
yeah.
Well, I'll look it up at commercial and find out for it. But anyway, he lost both of his legs. He was a Formula One racer, lost both of his legs, thought he was going to die, and now he's actually a gold medalist in the Paralympics with bike racing because he's just – he's an animal on the bicycle now with his hands and everything. And
Alex Zanardi.
Right. Thank you. And he does the triathlon, I think.
Yeah, he does all kinds of stuff, but now he's actually – so one of the first disabled athletes to do a car racing too, because they had to adjust the car for him to use his hands for everything, brake and gas and things like that. Yeah.
Right.
And shifting. And also to shift down, they got a little thing on the steering wheel that he presses it and this. So amazing athlete. So he would do that, and then he would go train to do the bicycle because he's still doing that in the Olympics.
Well,
incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there again this year, and I look forward to it. I want to make a suggestion for a film next year before we go, and that is Kill the Man with the Ball.
Yeah. Kill the Man with the Ball. Kill the Carrier.
Kill the Carrier. Whatever. Whatever you will call it, I want to see that movie. Pat, it's a pleasure having you here. Stick with us because you introduced us to Jorge Barbas, who's here with us, and so we want you part of that conversation.
Sure.
But we want to remind everybody about the All Sports Los Angeles Film Festival, allsportsfilmfest.com. We'll be right back with Jorge Barbas right after this on The Life Changes Show.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. This is the Life Changes Show. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm here with Mark Leger and our guest, Pat Patestini. We're being joined by, well, he's actually been here the whole time, Jorge Barbas. And he's been a part of the conversation in the sense that he has a film in the All Sports Los Angeles Film Festival coming up April 14th through the 17th here in the year 2016. The film is called Swim to Africa. Welcome, Jorge, to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's a pleasure. And, you know, I was about to say, as way of introducing you, you're not only in this film, but you're actually a math professor.
I am.
You're like this really smart guy. You're a PhD, and you teach at CSUN. And so life is too easy. Even though you have a wife and two kids, you think, okay, how can I make this harder? So you chose swimming.
I chose swimming, yeah.
Okay.
Math and swimming.
Math and swimming. All right, so what about swimming? What's the film about, Swim to Africa?
Well, this was an idea that I had, actually not my original idea, other people has done it before and after, of swimming across the Strait of Gibraltar from Spain to Morocco.
Mm-hmm. From one country and one continent to another.
To another, okay. Exactly.
To another country and continent.
Exactly.
Interesting. And you got this idea how?
Well, the first time that I heard about it, I vaguely remember it. I was probably like 5 years old, and we were in a road trip, with the family, and I heard on the radio that somebody had swum across the Strait of Gibraltar. There was probably some sort of additional challenge for it to come on air, but I was very intrigued by it, and I started asking about what a strait was and how far the distance was and what was on the other side. And I was truly fascinated by the idea of swimming from one continent to another.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that remained in the back of my head for many years. And it was actually at a later time when I decided to start competing in triathlon races that I had a horrible experience in the water in my first race.
What was horrible about it?
Well, it was cold.
It was cold.
I was unprepared.
That's pretty much every time I go in the water.
Where was this?
This was in Manhattan Beach.
In California?
In California.
That's cold.
That was cold. It was actually in Hermosa Beach.
Right. Still California.
Much colder than California. It's like 2 degrees warmer, I think.
Right.
I mean, it's cold, but we're not talking Alaska here.
Right. No, but it was in the month of November, I think, or October.
Okay.
And there was like a cold current flowing from Mexico up north in California. And I was not prepared. I didn't have a wetsuit. Everybody else did.
Oh. Why didn't you have a wetsuit?
Well, I thought it was California. Right? How cold can it get?
Sun all the time.
And
warm.
Did nobody suggest a wetsuit? I mean,
my wife did.
Oh.
For me to get a wetsuit and even to go and try swimming in the ocean because I was only swimming in the pool. But I argue that.
Wait, you were swimming in the pool?
Training for the
training.
Triathlon.
Okay.
Right?
But not in an ocean.
Not in the ocean, not in any kind
with
open
heater,
water.
Did your wife say, how does you say, I told you so in Spanish?
She probably did.
Over and over again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you are in Hermosa Beach, freezing.
Uh-huh.
That was the horrible experience?
No, it was not only the freezing. This is a mass start, right? There might be like 200 people going into the water at the same time.
Right.
And first you feel the cold, and the next thing you know, you have like somebody else's food in your mouth, and then you decide to breathe, and somebody slaps you in the head. And
wow.
Obvious motivation.
You have to keep
to
going.
To Africa.
Well, do we see any of this in the film?
Probably not.
Not this? Okay.
Not this.
No. Okay.
We were only six when we did the swim.
Oh, so you had plenty of...
Plenty of room, no crowding.
No. There were some obstacles, though. And
were different obstacles to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's skip to that. So we figured you survived California.
I did.
And you decided... Let me do something harder.
Right. Actually, I did something a little more pleasant after this horrible experience, which was I signed up for an open water swim clinic, and I rented a wetsuit. And then I realized how nice it can be to swim in the ocean. And after that experience, I thought, well, if it is not really that hard, I might try to do something more challenging. And I remember the Strait of Gibraltar and decided to go for it.
So a lot of people do this evidently, or not a lot of people. I'm sure it's a small percentage of the population of the world, but people do this. And so you gathered some of your friends and said...
Yes. Actually, apparently there are fewer people who have swum across the Strait of Gibraltar than people who have climbed Mount Everest.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know...
Wow.
If that tells you what...
Does your diploma say that? Because that's a cool thing.
No, it doesn't, but...
It should.
It's known by those who swim it.
Wow.
So, I started training, and when you train for something like this, you train in open water, obviously, but when you go swimming in open water, you should go with somebody else. And for this, you need to train more than what a training partner can... afford, you know, in terms of the time that you need for it. So I was also swimming in the pool, and I bumped into another triathlete that I had met before, Alan Morelli, and mentioned it to him that I was planning on doing this, and he decided to join. And he gathered a couple other people, and that's how the six of us came together to do it.
Wow. And are you all friends now after experiencing something like that?
Well, we have remained connected, certainly. I keep seeing Alan and Amy, who was another one of the swimmers. I see them occasionally when we swim in the ocean or coincide in a race. The other guys, I follow them on Facebook. I'm in contact with them on Facebook. So, yeah, we're still connected.
So the film is pretty much a documentary of documenting the actual swim and the experience, what, maybe training and then actual swimming?
And the challenges that if not all of us or some of the people in the group had gone through, life challenges, and the training and, yeah, the whole adventure.
Now, I've not climbed any mountains to speak of, but I understand at least when you climb a mountain, you get to stand there for a little bit and hold your hands up and say, hey, I did it, and feel good about yourself. When you actually touch Gibraltar, you can't actually get onto Gibraltar, right?
Right. I mean, you can probably stand up on shore for a few seconds, but the Moroccan Coast Guard is patrolling around there, and they don't want to see you there.
They don't want to see you there. They don't care about what you just did.
Right.
No congratulations.
No congratulations.
Nobody cares.
Glass of water or something. Yeah.
And this is how far? What's the distance?
The short distance, the straight distance is about 9 miles, I think. We swam like 11.6.
Because you're not really swimming.
You're not swimming a straight line. You're taking advantage of the currents who are going to help you get there sooner.
Okay, and how long does it take?
It took us 4 hours and 25 minutes.
Wow.
But I believe there are people who's done it in a little over 2 hours.
Wow.
But these are professional swimmers.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crooked.
Now, you've talked about something, having done that, something else you want to do. Talk about, you know, how do we make this harder? You talked about swimming to where?
Well, for a while I considered, and I haven't abandoned the idea completely, but I know that it's not going to happen anytime soon, that I consider swimming the English Channel. That is twice as long, at least, if no more, or maybe 2.5 times as long. And it is much colder. And the guys who organize this and who write your name in the list of those who have swum across the English Channel, they don't want you to do it with a wetsuit.
See, so that's my point. That was the whole point from the beginning of the show. It's like, as if that's not hard. Like, how many people can swim that far in open waters? But no, we won't count it unless you do it without a wetsuit.
Yes. A wetsuit, well, you can wear a swim cap.
Oh, thank you very much. And trunks, cap. I hope?
A swim trunk, but only down to your knees. Nothing beyond your knees.
Your knees. Yeah. Wow.
Don't they put some oils or
Yeah, they put, what is that? Some sort of grease or...
Cream, whale blubber, something.
Wax.
To keep themselves a little bit
Yeah,
warmer,
they spread it just like butter on their body. Yeah.
And you're okay with this?
Well, actually...
I haven't decided yet.
Well, what is holding me back is I was reading how one should train for swimming in 57-degree water without a wetsuit, and it seems pretty clear that you're not going to feel comfortable in the cold, that you just have to get used to not being comfortable in the cold. And so they recommend that you sleep with your window open, that you shower only with cold water for many months so that you get used to it. And I tried that, and I think the first night that I slept with the window open, I caught a cold, and I decided to postpone it.
All right. If you ever do that, let us know. We'd love to
have a
conversation. We'll hear about it. Okay.
We'll meet you in Paris at a cafe sipping some coffee, rightfully, but we'll be there.
Afterwards.
Oh, hey, here comes Jorge.
We want to see purple. The diploma just to make sure you did it without
We'll be there with the Coast Guard.
Without a, what do we call those things?
Wetsuit.
Thank you. All right. So it's fun having this conversation with you. I'm not making fun at all. I really respect what you did, and
thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing Swim to Africa at the film festival, and I hope it does well, but it's already there and people get to enjoy it, and that's what matters.
Thank you very much.
So thank you, Jorge Balbas, for being... Do I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you for being with us. And thank you again, Pat Battistini. When we come back after this, Fisher 15 will be performing live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Legere, and Pat Bettacini is still with us, and so is Jorge Balbas as we greet Fisher 15, singer, songwriter, producer, and all-around great guy. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here today.
It's a pleasure to have you, and thank you, Pat, for introducing us. Felt a connection with you as soon as you came in, and I think you're a man of many hats, and you're going to be playing one hat for us today. But you have had experiences in your life that have gotten you to here.
Yes, I've had a tremendous amount of experiences. One thing that was really, really cool, I always had a desire to travel, right? And I got an opportunity, actually twice, last year.
Let me guess, from Spain to Gibraltar.
No, and this is the kicker.
There's a plane, I think.
There's a plane involved. I didn't have to swim. That's the cool thing. I got asked back to Japan, New Year's Eve.
To perform last year.
Yeah, it was really cool. Camp Zama, military base, U.S. military base in Japan. And it was really a blast to be asked back. It took them 7 years to get me back, but but nevertheless, they got me back, and it was a lot of fun. It was really, really good stuff.
And that means a lot. What was your journey to music? Is this something you started out with or something?
Oh, I have to tell you this story really, really quickly. I'll make it as quick as possible. When I was about 6 years old in the summertime, I would spend the summer with my grandfather so I didn't get to really see too much of my cousins. My mom would just kind of drop me off there and say, "You're going to, spend time with grandpa, have a great time." Well, now I'm by myself mostly. My grandfather would be selling stuff at the flea market, and some days I would go with him, some days I didn't. And the days that I didn't, in his backyard, he would have all the stuff that he would be selling on the weekends, and most.
Why am I picturing like Sanford and Sons? I mean, like what?
Yeah, very much so. But exactly, he would have bikes. I would have to build bikes out of spare parts, and he showed me how to do it, so I could put together a 10-speed. Let me tell you, in like 10 minutes. No, but he would have all these potted plants, like all the like cactuses and all this stuff. But he had, I mean, dozens and dozens of these potted plants. And then in the corner of the backyard, there would be this cement block. And I remember as far back, because this is the question that I had, okay? When did I fall in love with music? Mm. And this is my earliest memory. I had a little transistor radio. I would stand in that little slab of cement in the back of the corner of the yard. I would line up those potted plants on the left and to the right, and make rows of them. Mm-hmm. And I would have the transistor radio, and I would sing along to whatever song came on there. So it would be Jackson 5, it would be, Sam Cooke, it would be all these great songs. And I would sing along to these plants. Those were my... That was the audience.
Wow!
So...
In like a theater.
It was an amphitheater. It was an outdoor venue.
Oh, that's great.
I know them really well now. No. But that's my earliest memory.
Wow.
And it's so vivid. I mean, even talking about it, I could still see, I could smell the the pine
the
needles.
Weed? No. It's a bunch of weeds. It's all weeds. I'm playing the weed. I smell the weeds.
There's a story there.
There is.
You know, there's a story there.
You're going to play and, or tell stories?
You don't want to get into my stories because I'll tell stories instead of play music.
That's a good story, though.
That is a good story. Isn't that a cool story?
Yeah.
I always thought that was a really cool story.
I don't want to cut off your other one, but was the other one relevant?
I've never been high in my whole life.
High on life, baby.
I'm high on life. Yeah. Although people tell me, like, dude, do you, like, smoke out? Like, I'm like, no, I don't. Really.
It's just the music.
It's just the music, yeah. It's the music. I'm high on.
I don't
I'm
know. I don't know you well enough to know if you're just blowing smoke.
No, honestly. Yeah. See, nobody believes me. That's crazy.
I believe you.
That's
funny. So your influences are people you mentioned, right?
Yeah, influence. I think probably my biggest influence is Prince. I absolutely adore Prince. He has to be probably the biggest influence. But there's a ton of other obscure influences, like, you know, the Beatles, of course, and then of all people, Bryan Adams is probably a really big and no one would guess that, but I absolutely love Bryan Adams.
Well, what you're going to be playing today, these are your original songs.
They are my original songs.
And what's the first one?
The first one is kind of like a, it's been a work in progress for the last.
You mean life?
Yeah.
It's like life.
It's like life. Yeah. It's a work in progress. And I think I'm getting it to a good point. And it's going on the new record. And it's called You Don't Need. And it's basically about me telling a gal that she's enough, you know, she's enough just with who she is. She doesn't need a man to tell her what to do. She doesn't need anyone making decisions for her. She is more than enough.
Wow.
And I think all women need to hear that.
What a great message. What's it called?
It's called Don't Need. I don't know. I'm still working on the title. We'll figure it out. Maybe by the end of the song, I'll actually have a title for
it. What if we vote? Can we vote?
You could vote for it.
Because she's enough. I kind of like that. But
enough. In the chorus.
You know, enough we'll is see. Enough. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So here's a song.
Don't Need.
Don't Weed. Don't Weed is what it's called.
All right, Pat. Simmer down. Here's Don't Need. Fisher 15 singing live in Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Well, it seems to me, yeah, you'd be better on your own, baby. Well, it seems to me, yeah, you'd be better on your own, girl. See, I'm tired. Playing these silly games, baby. And I won't be, no. I'm never gonna be the same, baby. See, I've been there, and I've done that. And I don't need that kind of mess, no. Said you don't need no man telling you it's time to come home. Said you don't need, baby. You don't need no man telling you it's time to come home. Said you don't need. tired, I'm tired of playing these silly games, baby. And I'm never gonna be the same, baby. I know you wanna be who you wanna be. Yes, you do, baby. I want you to be free. I'll never hold you back, yeah, baby. See, I've been there. That. And I don't need to hold you down. Said you don't need no man telling you it's time to come home. Said you don't need. Said you don't need no man telling you it's time to come home. Said you don't need no.
Fisher 15, nice, real nice.
Thank you.
You don't need another title.
Yeah,
that's the one. Is that the one?
It works.
All right. Cool. Wow. Well, if you want to follow Fisher 15 on Twitter, it's at Fisher 15. SoundCloud and Facebook, it's Fisher 15. 15 is spelled out, you know, like FIFTEEN. And if you want to watch him on videos, you can go to Reverb Nation and put in Fisher 15.
That's right.
And also, if you want to hear...
Yeah, if you want to see, like, music videos, I got another really cool story. I shot a video. I shot a music video for one of my singles for the new record. It's called Hunger. And of all places, going to Japan, you know, she's been following me for 7 years from the first time I went to Japan. Her name is Kana. She's the love interest in the video. When I'd been talking back and forth with, she's a fan of mine from Japan. And I told her, hey, I'm going to shoot a music video. And she's like, when are you shooting it? I'm coming to the States.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, if you come to the States, I'll put you in the music video.
Whoa.
She's like, I'm definitely coming to the States then. Wow. So I put her in the music video, and we had a great time. And
where's that? Where can we see that?
You can see it on YouTube.
Oh, really? You know what? I'm going to grab that, and I'm going to have that put on our website.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think that'd be fun.
Thank you.
And that's called Hunger?
It's called Hunger, yes.
Oh, very cool. All right, so I actually wanted to mention Bandcamp as well, right? Fisher15
yeah.
At bandcamp.com.
Yes, sir.
And people can actually buy the music
they
there as well,
buy
right?
buy some music there. Yes, they
yeah.
can.
So you have a previous CD. What's it called?
God is Love is the previous CD.
And God is Love.
Yeah, you could only get it there.
Okay.
I'm in full control of my music, and I like it that way, and we're going to keep it that way.
Okay, and that's at Fisher15 at
Bandcamp.com.
Very
yes.
cool. So you have another song prepared for us?
I do. And I do. This one's a little slower, and it's called Rain's Coming Down. I wrote this with another amazing songwriter. His name is Gabe Cabanda, and he actually has Epic Proportions touring. He has a touring company, and he tours all over. I think he went to Australia. He's an amazing artist, singer, songwriter. Yeah, I wrote this song with him a while back.
Well, we look forward to hearing it.
Yeah.
Well, here's Rain's Coming Down. Is it coming down or coming down?
It's coming down.
Coming.
Yeah,
okay.
It's coming down.
All right. Well,
that's how we break it down.
There it is with Fisher 15 here live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
show those eyes to me, baby. No need to cry. No need to cry. Tell me what's on your mind. 'Cause rain's coming down. God above, you're all I'm thinking of. Please don't turn away, baby, I need your love. I swear to God above, you're all I'm thinking of. Please stay, oh stay. Find the love we have inside, 'cause rain's coming down. Don't leave me alone tonight, babe, 'cause baby I need your love. I swear to God above, you're all I'm thinking. Don't turn away, baby, I need your love. I swear to God above, you're all I'm thinking of. Please say you'll stay. Oh, baby, all I'm thinking of.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What
this
a
is
pleasure.
Awesome.
What a pleasure. Fisher 15. Again, it's Twitter and SoundCloud and Facebook. Fisher 15. You can follow him there. Fisher 15 at bandcamp.com is where you can get his music and Reverb Nation. Look up Fisher 15. You can see his
Snapchat,
videos.
Snapchat, all that stuff. Come hang out with me. It's all good.
Fisher 15, F-I-F-T-E-E-N. What a pleasure. Fisher 15 and Jorge Balbas.
Thank you.
And Pat Battistini. So great having you all here. On behalf of our engineer here, Studio Noho, Brent Hahn, and our BBS station manager, Doug Newsom, our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.